I want to welcome everyone here this morning to the Second Court of Appeals. Thank you for being here. We have two cases that will be argued at 10:30. The first one is Lambert versus State Farm, and the second one is South Texas versus Rise Residential. My understanding that all the attorneys have checked in and are ready. We're going to hear the Lambert versus State Farm's case first, but before we begin, I want to introduce the panel to you. To my left is Justice Elizabeth Kerr. To my right is Justice Bill Meyer, and I'm Chief Justice Bonnie Sutterth. Before we begin arguments on the first case, will the clerk please call the case?
The court will now call Joseph Lambert and Susan Lambert versus State Farm Lloyd. May it please the court, Mr. Andrew Dittrich to argue for the appellate, and Ms. Vanessa Lorber to argue for the appellate.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Andrew Bender, and I'm here representing the appellants in this matter, Susan and Joseph Lambert. During my time before the court, I will explain why this court should reverse the trial court's judgment in favor of State Farm for two reasons. First, the Lamberts' extra contractual claims do not depend upon a viable breach of contract claim. And second, payment of an appraisal award does not dispose of the Lambert's prompt pay claims as a matter of law. Your Honors, the facts of this case are simple. The Lambert's home was damaged by a storm in May 2015. They submitted a claim under their homeowner's insurance policy. State Farm dispatched Tevin Sen, one of their adjusters, to conduct an inspection of the property. And Mr. Sen concluded that the amount of covered losses was around $5,000, which was less than the $5,600 deductible. So State Farm denied the Lamberts' claim. The Lamberts hired their own adjuster, and their adjuster reached a different conclusion. Their adjuster decided that the home had sustained more than $100,000 worth of damage. So the Lamberts requested a reinspection. Mr. Sen reinspected the property and concluded that instead of $5,000 of covered losses, it was $9,000 of covered losses. After deducting the applicable deductible and any appreciable recovery, State Farm issued a check to the Lamberts for $1,600. The Lamberts filed a lawsuit asserting breach of contract claims, extra contractual claims, settlement in bad faith. And at that point, State Farm invokes appraisal. The appraisal is conducted, and it's three people, two appraisers, and one umpire. Two people agree that the home sustained losses amounting to $99,000 and change. State Farm moves for summary judgment, arguing that payment of an appraisal award disposes of the Lambert's breach of contract claim as a matter of law, and without a viable breach of contract claim, their remaining extra contractual claims fail as well. And that brings me to my first point. The trial court's judgment should be reversed because the Lambert's extra contractual claims are not contingent upon a viable breach of contract claim. On this issue, I'd like to bring the court's attention to the latest authority on the issue, which was an opinion decided in August 29th by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in Lida Swinerton Builders Incorporated versus Oklahoma Surety Company. Would you like a case site for that?
Certainly.
No?
Yes.
2018 Westlaw 411-3795. Now, in that case, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals issued an opinion.
One more time.
Okay, 2018, Westlaw 411-3795.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, in that case, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed a district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the insurance company. But after that happened, the Texas Supreme Court decided the seminal case of USAA Texas Lloyds versus Menchaca. Following that decision, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals withdrew its original opinion, issued a subsequent opinion reversing the district court's judgment on the extra contractual claims. Now, State Farm will distinguish that lie to Swinerton on the basis that that case didn't involve an appraisal, as if the appraisal operates as some type of magic wand that makes liability disappear. But the underlying reasoning is flawed, because the essence of what they're saying is that a common law defense to contractual damages completely bars recovery of tort damages sought under a statutory cause of action. Now, in Menchaca, the court begins its analysis by drawing that distinction. The court begins its analysis by distinguishing contract claims from tort claims. And ultimately, the court held that an insured is not required to prove a viable breach of contract claim in order to recover damages under Chapter 541 of the Texas Insurance Code, which is for settlements in bad faith. So what we're left with is a wide variety of intermediate Texas courts of appeals who have echoed each other in holding that payment of an appraisal award defeats a contract claim, and without a contract claim, the extra contractual claims fail as well. That reasoning was debunked by the Texas Supreme Court in Menchaca. And what's perhaps most interesting or most telling about that particular issue is the case issued by the 14th Court of Appeals in two months ago, I think, and forms the basis of a letter brief that was filed by State Farm in Marchbanks is the name of the case. And you'll notice that in Marchbanks, the court distinguishes Menchaca. The court says, simply because this case involves appraisal, Menchaca is not on point. That's the inherent problem with what is taking place across the intermediate courts of appeals right now. And this isn't me identifying the issue. I wish I could take credit for it, but it's the Texas Supreme Court that's identifying the issue. Because as I stand here today, there's seven cases that are pending at the Texas Supreme Court where the court has requested a response to a petition for review or requested briefing on the merits, all of which involve the same or a substantially similar issue as the one forming the basis of this appeal. So when considering what the likelihood is of the Texas Supreme Court granting review and reversing, it's anyone's guess. But we do know that it's caught their attention. And not surprisingly, it is State Farm that is the appellee, is the respondent in four of those seven cases. So as far as our first point goes, we believe that Menchaca firmly supports our argument that an insured's extra contractual claims are not contingent upon a viable breach of contract claim. And turning to the second point, the Lamberts' prompt pay claims are not disposed of as a matter of law simply due to payment of an appraisal award. Now, State Farm has argued at the trial court and at this court that simply paying an appraisal award without regard to when it's paid disposes of the Lamberts' prompt pay claims as a matter of law, even though there's no exception in the statute. The statute provides strict liability as soon as a claim is submitted, as soon as the insurer is liable, And as soon as there's one more element, I think it's a violation of the actual statute, which is you have to pay within 15 days. There are certain exceptions recognized by the Texas legislature. It's for disasters and I think excess surplus line insurers. But at the end of the day, the Texas legislature knows how to write an exception to liability in the statute. That's reflected in the exceptions that are already built into the statute. What's not in the statute is an exception for an appraisal award. There is nothing in the statute that says if you pay an appraisal award, then you're not liable for these damages. Now, in Marchbanks, the court distinguished that line of reasoning by basically engaging in three errors. One being is that they relied on their prior precedent. Two cases from the 14th Court of Appeals, which are pending at the Texas Supreme Court, one of which was requested briefing on the merits, the other was a response to a petition for review was requested. The second reason is that the court found that a judgment is required before liability can be imposed. But the statute says nothing about a judgment. It just says the insurer is liable. So if a judgment is required, then that creates all of these other problems. For example, if an insurer invokes appraisal after a jury returns a favorable verdict to the insured, but before the trial court renders judgment, will that nullify the jury's verdict? It seems to make no sense to me, but no intermediate court of appeals has gone in that direction, admittedly. And I can assure you that State Farm, during their time before the court, will cite a whole slew of cases from the intermediate courts of appeals, but the problem is they won't be able to answer the why. They won't be able to articulate to this court why a common law defense to contractual damages should completely bar a statutory cause of action that gives rise to tort damages. They will cite cases. There's a bunch of them out there, but none of them articulate the why. Here, State Farm moved for summary judgment on its affirmative defense of estoppel. Estoppel is a contractual defense. There's nothing in the statutory framework that says anything about estoppel operating as some sort of bar to the recovery of damages. And that's exactly what Menchaca said. And the court of Menchaca expressly said that the statutory framework in Chapter 541 authorizes the recovery of actual damages caused by a violation of this chapter, notwithstanding any contractual claim for damages. If you apply that reasoning to this case, it leads to the inescapable conclusion that the Lamberts are entitled to pursue damages, actual damages under Chapter 541 for settlement in bad faith. And keep in mind, what we're talking about here is a situation where the Lamberts' home was damaged in May 2015. And the appraisal award wasn't paid until August 2016. So what we have here is a situation where the Lamberts are stuck in a situation where they're required to pay the bill for 16 months. And the insurer does nothing. The insurer has done absolutely nothing except conduct meager damage assessments and deny liability. So, in terms of policy, it makes little sense to incentivize insurers to delay the payment of claims when the entire purpose of the Prompt Pay Act is to encourage the prompt payment of claims. Nevertheless, the Lamberts are now precluded from recovering attorney's fees and prompt pay interest that are authorized under a statute that was written by the Texas legislature without an exception for appraisal. And it's for these reasons we respectfully request this court to reverse the trial court's judgment.
May it please the court. The trial court summary judgment in this case is correct and should be affirmed. Every appellate court that has addressed the issues in this case, which is now Amarillo, Corpus Christi, Dallas, Houston First and Houston 14th, and San Antonio, as well as the Fifth Circuit, have agreed that a take nothing judgment is correct on facts that parallel this case.
Do you understand why the court might be concerned that if we affirm here that this might become standard practice for the insurance industry and maybe a way of avoiding the duty of fair dealing with insureds? I mean, do you think the facts here would be concerning to the courts from that perspective?
Your Honor, I understand that the court is concerned from a policy perspective. And I think that actually the appraisal provision and how it worked in this case worked as intended.
Except the State Farm didn't invoke it until late in the game.
So they effectuated a
slow pay in this case, and they could have invoked it early.
And the
insured was not required to invoke it.
Yes, Your Honor. You're correct, and they have multiple parts to unwind in the question, as I understand it. The Texas Supreme Court has talked about an insurance company can demand appraisal either before or after litigation is commenced, so long as the demand was made in a reasonable time after an impasse has been reached. In this case, an impasse was not reached until the Lamberts hired a lawyer, told State Farm they were dissatisfied, and filed suit. Earlier than that, State Farm had done an estimate. They had done an estimate. They'd asked State Farm to come back out. State Farm had done another inspection, done another estimate, and then they didn't hear that they were still dissatisfied with the second estimate. Once they did, they filed suit. State Farm realized that an impasse had been reached, and it demanded appraisal. And it was actually very quickly in this case after the lawsuit had been filed, within a matter of a few weeks. There wasn't any litigation conducted other than the lawsuit being filed and the answer being filed. And so the Texas Supreme Court has already set up a system. Had State Farm been unreasonable and waited a significant amount of time, like the issue you guys recently addressed in In re Allstate, the Supreme Court has already set up a procedure for insureds to come to court and say, this is too late. State Farm acted inconsistent with appraisal. It prejudiced us. It should have done this sooner, in which case they argue that appraisal is waived and the appraisal process doesn't go forward. But that didn't occur here. They didn't allege that. When State Farm demanded appraisal, as it had, you know, it's right to do under the contract, the Lamberts appointed an appraiser and agreed to participate in the appraisal process. The appraisal process then happened, and within 2 days after State Farm received it, State Farm agreed to pay it in full.
Do you think it's significant that there was a gross disparity between what the State Farm offered and what the appraisal eventually revealed?
So the factual issue in this case, State Farm went out. They have a wood roof. State Farm went out and inspected it and said this roof was not damaged by wind or hail. We found other things that are damaged by wind and hail, and they're covered, and we will pay for them. But your roof is not damaged by wind or hail. And State Farm still believes that today. But what happened and why the appraisal process worked in this case is because State Farm, after the appraisal process went forward, State Farm agreed to give up its coverage defense. State Farm could have continued to go to litigation, could have continued to say this wasn't damaged by a covered
loss. What was the coverage defense?
What's that?
What was State Farm's coverage defense?
That the policy only provides damage for covered perils, wind and hail being one of them, and the decision, State Farm's belief is that this roof was not damaged by wind and hail.
What caused the damage by State Farm's estimate?
How much was what?
What did State Farm believe caused the damage?
Wear and tear.
An old roof.
It's an old roof, but also the roof wasn't in need of replacement. There were a few 30 or 40 roof tiles that were in need of replacement, and State Farm paid for those. But the estimate, there was not damage on the roof such that it sustained the need to be replaced.
I have a hard time understanding a $4,900 offer and an ultimate payment on a finding of $99,000 in damage.
So this is why appraisal worked in this case. You had third-party appraisers come in, and keep in mind, State Farm had found a almost $10,000 estimate. They had demanded $179,000. As is often the case, the appraisers met in the middle. The appraisal award is pretty smack dab right in the middle. It often happens with appraisals is that appraisers come back as a compromise. And so both parties benefit when a case goes to appraisal because State Farm's going to pay a lot more than it might need to under the policy, particularly if it could go to court. It has to give up its coverage defenses. It could go to court and it would owe no more than this amount, but it could certainly still owe zero if it prevails on the fact that this was not a covered loss. Both parties, the reason that State Farm and other insurance companies are paying these appraisal awards is to stop the battle. We're going to pay the most we could possibly owe to end it, to get back to a happy state with our insureds, to get out of litigation, out of fighting, out of experts, out of discovery. And so we're saying, fine, we'll give up on our coverage defenses and we'll pay this. And so appraisal worked in this case exactly as it was intended. The individual appraisers appraised the amount of the loss, State Farm paid it. Yes, it was a year after the original loss, but it was only a few months after the Lamberts decided they were still dissatisfied, or at least after they told State Farm they were still dissatisfied with the adjusting, and it was only days after the appraisal process concluded. This would still be in litigation today, so it actually served the purpose of resolving this quicker than litigation. Opposing counsel was talking about Menchaca. And what he didn't mention is that since the Menchaca case, four courts of appeals, Amarillo, Dallas, Houston 14th, and San Antonio, have looked at appraisal in the context of the Menchaca decision, and they have all decided that the take-nothing judgment remains correct under Menchaca. No court, in appraisal or otherwise, has interpreted Menchaca the way they are asking this court to. We agree that Menchaca does not depend, that extra-contractual claims do not depend on a breach of contract. What they depend on is that the insureds are entitled to benefits under the policy. So Menchaca was not an appraisal case, but what it did is it set out five rules that govern the relationship between contract and extra contractual claims. And it defined the types of damages, two types of damages that insureds can get from an insurance company. The first is they can get policy benefits, but only if those policy benefits are benefits they are entitled to under the insurance policy. If they prove they're entitled to benefits under the insurance policy, they can get those benefits as damages on extra contractual claims. Importantly, in appraisal, because the appraiser set the amount of loss, once the amount of loss is paid, the claim has been paid in full, and they aren't entitled to any further benefits that could be awarded as extra contractual or damages. There's no further damage that could be awarded. They've gotten the maximum amount of the claim. Secondarily, Menchaca talks about the only way you can recover benefits, damages other than policy benefits, is if the insured has an independent injury. So, and the Supreme Court talked about that cannot be an injury that stems or flows from the claim for policy benefits. So, in a case like this, if the insured had been able to say, it's a summary judgment, so if they had come forward with any evidence at all saying, from the time State Farm came out there and initially inspected, I was damaged by X, anything. My house got worse. I had any sort of damage, an independent injury, we wouldn't be here on summary judgment. But they didn't. They're only asking for policy benefits. They admit that State Farm has paid them the full amount of the loss set by the appraisers, and they aren't entitled to any other policy benefits. So under Menchaca and under the four, or I think there's about seven post-Menchaca appraisal decisions, they're saying, yes, they were entitled to benefits. Those benefits have been paid. They have no independent injury. Therefore, under Menchaca, there are no more damages that could be recovered on these extra contractual claims. There's nothing you could send to a jury. There's no recoverable damages left. And so that's the reason why Menchaca continues to support the Take Nothing judgment. On the Prompt Payment of Claims Act, he says that we'll say that all the courts have agreed, and they have, but he'll say we can't answer the why. And I will answer the why. There are two whys. As the 14th Court recently explained in Marchbanks, an element of a claim for recovery under the prompt payment statute is that the insured obtains a judgment against the insurance company for liability under the policy. In this case, State Farm paid the claim as it was provided in the policy. The policy provides that once the parties disagree about the loss, it can go to appraisal. They did that. They paid it per the appraisal. In fact, they're not appealing that summary judgment was correctly granted on their breach of contract claim. And since they couldn't go to trial and get a contract liability judgment, you also cannot go to trial and get prompt payment claims. These decisions are also consistent with the plain language of the Prompt Payment Act. I'm not sure if opposing counsel mentioned it, but it's in all of our briefing. The time frames under the Prompt Payment Act are all triggered from when the insurance company has received all items, statements, and forms required to secure final proof of loss. For example, within 15 days, they have to accept or reject the claim. Within 5 days after that, those are business days, after that, they have to pay the claim. And then if it's not paid within 60 days after receiving all items, statements, and forms required, the insurance company is liable for penalties and insurance.
Who determines what forms and information is required?
Well, in this case, the insurance policy provided that. The insurance policy provided State Farm the right to request appraisal once there was a dispute about the amount of loss.
And that's not what I ask you. You said that the time frame start once all of the forms and information have been received by the insurance company. And so what I'm asking you is it the insurance company's opportunity to define what is required?
In some instances, that might not be true, Your Honor. Here, when what we're talking about being required is something provided as a right for State Farm to demand it under the policy, I would say in this situation, it is per se reasonable or necessary or appropriate for State Farm to have requested appraisal. And like I mentioned, they didn't contest in the trial court the timing of State Farm's request for appraisal. They had a process to do that, and they didn't. So they're not saying that it's not an issue in this appeal, and it wasn't an issue in a trial court that State Farm waited to demand appraisal, and they're not saying there wasn't a dispute about the amount of loss. And so the insurance policy specifically, like I said, the insurance policy specifically says State Farm can do it once there was a dispute. And the statute expressly, this is the part that has been missing in, this is the why. So in 252.055B, the statute allows the insurance company to make additional requests for information if during the investigation of the claim, additional information becomes necessary. And that's what happened here, is as soon as they said, we dispute this, we're gonna keep fighting this, State Farm demanded appraisal, they participated. Once they got that appraisal award, that was the last piece of information needed to resolve the dispute. That appraisal award was put the value on the claim, and then State Farm would have then had 15 days to decide whether to accept it, or it could have continued to fight its coverage defenses. Within 2 days, it says, we'll go ahead and pay this. And opposing counsel has talked a lot about the Texas Supreme Court, and it's correct that they have showed some interest in a few of these cases. They have not granted review in any of them. Several of them are cases I'm involved in. One of them has been fully briefed since May. Supreme Court on its general timeline would have done something with the case by now. Several of the others that they've asked for responses have also been fully briefed on petitions for review since May. So I'm not sure what, if anything, the Supreme Court is going to do in any of these cases. We share the hope that the Supreme Court would decide this and we could get a statewide answer. But in the meantime, we ask this court to look closely at the, I think it's probably 24 cases now from sister courts of appeals, 7 or 8 of which have been since Menchaca. Look closely at them and for the reasons in them and for the reasons the Supreme Court has described as the reasons why we have a strong policy favoring appraisal in this state. Appraisal worked as intended, and they're here now having gotten paid close to $90,000 on their claim. They didn't have to litigate it. We ask this court to, like I said, look at that precedent, look at the policy, and affirm.
Thank you.
Ma'am, before you quit, would you comment on the Fifth Circuit's case that is cited in the appellant's brief that talks about the Menchaca case and how they handled their particular case in response to the Menchaca case?
Sure. The Fifth Circuit decision that they cite is not an appraisal case. The Fifth Circuit has decided an appraisal case since Menchaca, and that's the Minali case. And that case has gone the exact same way as all these state court cases. And the reason that it's different in the appraisal context and outside of the appraisal context is that when you are paying a claim in response to an appraisal, you are doing it per the terms of the policy. You are following a mechanism outlined in your policy, and you are then deciding whether to continue to litigate coverage or to pay the claim. You're not going to a judgment. There's no judgment. There is no determination in this case or any of these cases that State Farm owed that amount. That's not what appraisal decides. Appraisal just decides the amount of loss, and then causation and coverage are to be litigated, except for when the insurance company decides to give up on causation and coverage. So courts continue to make that distinction, as the Fifth Circuit has, on this is how it's handled when it goes to judgment, and this is how it's handled when it goes to appraisal.
Thank you.
Would you give Mr. Bender an extra minute, please?
Thank you, Your Honor. A few quick points on rebuttal. First, to Justice Meyer's question, the disparity is significant. The meager assessments that were given by State Farm over the course of a couple months, and then the 16 months between the date of loss and the payment of appraisal award, could be evidence that would allow a reasonable jury to conclude that State Farm acted in bad faith when engaging in these settlement practices. Second, opposing counsel argues that there are no recoverable damages left. It goes right to my first point, that there are recoverable damages left. The Texas legislature articulated damages in Chapter 541 and Chapter 542 that were designed to discourage this precise type of conduct. And the way that the Texas legislature decided to do that was by passing a statute that authorizes the insured to recover attorney's fees and 18% interest on claims that are not timely paid.
But as far as other types of damages, I mean, are you just wanting the 18% and attorney's fees, or are you saying that on your other extra contractual claims that you have additional damages?
The former, Your Honor. All we're asking for is to recover the amount of attorney's fees and a percentage of interest on the policy benefits. And that's consistent with what the Texas Supreme Court said in Menchaca. Because in Menchaca, the Texas Supreme Court said, at a minimum, that the insured is entitled to recover policy benefits. Right now, we are at the minimum. We got our policy benefits. But that doesn't preclude us from pursuing statutory causes of action for tort damages. And that brings me to my third point, which is that opposing counsel argued that the prompt pay claim doesn't impose the duty until it's received all statements and forms. But the statute itself says that the insurer is required to ask for those forms. The insurer can't just sit on its hands and then say, we needed additional forms, therefore we're not liable for 18% interest. And the Texas legislature identified that as a problem and sought to address it by incorporating a specific section of the statute that obligates the insurer to request whatever additional information it needs upon receipt of a timely claim, which here there is no dispute. And it's for these reasons we respectfully request this court to reverse the trial court's judgment.
Thank you. We thank you for your argument. It's been helpful, and this case is now submitted. We have another case that will be argued after this one, and so you guys are free to go about your business, or you may stay and listen if you'd like, if that's your choice.
Mr. Bender, do you have any...